Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, hey, I hope you remembered me in the new year and that you're here listening, because it's January 15th, 2014. And I read an article the other day. People are still writing them, by that great journalist from Inc. magazine. His name is Adam Vaccaro, and he's not a recruiter, but he interviewed a bunch of people, including recruiters, about how to get information when you're doing reference checks. And first, he spoke to that great recruiter, Lou Adler. And Lou said that people don't like to answer blunt questions. For instance, what are Joe's weaknesses? They don't want to tell you. So Lou's wily. He says, do it this way. Ask the reference to judge the candidate on a scale of 1 to 10 in various areas of relevance, various skills that you need for that job you're thinking of putting her in. And then if the reference gives you a 7, you say, hey, what would it take for this girl or this guy to get a 9 or a 10? That way you get specific information about where the candidate needs to improve. This dumb reference has actually answered the question, what are Joe's weaknesses, without realizing it. And then Adam spoke to another recruiter, Mel Kleiman. Mel Kleiman. And Mel said, ask the candidate first to rate herself on a few competencies. Then if the reference clams up and won't talk, you just say, okay, look, how about we do it this way? You just confirm. You don't have to say anything. You just confirm a few things for me. It's easy. Just say yes or no. Then you feed them the information the candidate gave you about her skills and experience. And if he refuses to answer, you can assume that's a no. That's a no. These references, we can get them to answer even when they don't want. Then Jim went on to speak to a hiring manager, a CEO named Jim Belosik. And he said he likes to ask cultural questions. He's the first guy who actually gives you the cultural questions he asks. Here's what he says. I like to ask if a candidate's work area was clean or messy, and if he or she participated in any external activities like softball or volunteering. Those might sound like dumb questions to you, but everybody's always talking about culture. This guy at least gives you a few, and you can see how lame it is. What does that tell you? Almost nothing. And then Adam spoke finally to Allison Green, ask a manager. She didn't like Jim's cultural questions. She says, ask cultural questions that have no obviously negative answer. I guess she thought he was a little too blunt. So she gives an example of what a good question is. Listen to this. Some people thrive in fast-paced environments, but sometimes err on the side of losing precision, while others are incredibly precise, but do better when there's more time to focus on their work. Which sounds more like Jane? Well, I don't know about you. You can call me stupid if you want, but I lost that. I didn't understand. I didn't even get halfway before I didn't know what she was talking about. Maybe that's the way to do it. You confuse them, and they feel dumb, and then they just say whatever they want. Anyway, Adam also says, finally, I'm going to close off. Adam says, you shouldn't ask former coworkers for references. And here's why. Because the candidate is only going to give you people who are going to give good references. Well, that's really stupid, because it's the rest of the article's telling you there's a good way, there's easy ways to get around these people who don't want to be honest. And if you ask a person for examples to back up any statement, you know, whether they're a coworker or a manager, it's going to be hard for them to lie. And we find that's true here on Jerry Jerry. What show is this?
This is the Recruiting Animal Show!
yeah, you know what, Chair?
You didn't like
First
that.
First of all, you dragged it out too long.
What?
Quantity over quality. Secondly, you've got to have it.
I, unlike you, can take constructive criticism.
Okay, yeah, right. So here, I'm giving you some. You've got this habit now when I say, Jerry, what show is this?
Hey!
Okay.
Stop telling me what to do.
You hesitate. There's a big gap. People think we're off the air.
No. People might wish we were off the air, but they don't think that we are. Unfortunately for them, we're on the air, and it's the Recruiting Animal Show.
Yeah, it's the Recruiting Animal Show. Bridget Baggins, are you here? Is that your last
Yes, name? I am. Can you hear me clearly?
No.
Yes, I can. Do I have your name correctly?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Are you in a lively place today, dear? I really hope so, because we don't like our guests to be putting us to sleep. You sound kind of lively. Yes or no?
I'm lively. I'm ready.
Okay, good. But, you know, let me just ask to be clear. You're not on a landline, are you?
No, I'm not.
There, you see, you can always tell when these reference checks are lying. It's the exact same way, hesitation. Oh, you know what? I just want everybody to know, if we can't hear her during the show, I send them all the information, and it says, landline. You know what? And these people live in the United States. I'll say it again. Supposedly the greatest country in the world, and they can't get on a landline. Okay, dear.
Is this the phone that she uses to talk to customers?
No, this isn't.
Why did you give us a lower grade connection?
yeah. Okay, let's leave that, okay?
No.
Okay,
I want to know. What made her decide, no, they're not worth the quality phone line? Let's use this one here. I just want to know. I'm interested. Your guests are interested.
No, I'm not actually in the office, so I'm on the phone that was available to me. The landline that I use, you're right, when I call out and talk to clients.
Like when you take it seriously.
No, I take this very seriously. I have to be on the show.
All right. Are you?
Yeah, okay.
Where
it
are you
sounds
located?
A bit sloshy. Just Jerry, let's end this. It sounds a bit sloshy. Jerry, I'm going to mute you if you contradict me.
I'll mute myself.
Okay. Now, dear, you wanted to sing a song. You're ready to sing a song, are you? We're going to sing Dad. Is that what you wanted to sing? Okay,
yes.
We're just going to sing the chorus, right?
If that's what you want. You have the background music, right?
No, it's just us, a cappella.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
You pick the song, you lead off, I'm going to follow with you. Usually I'm the only one who sings, but you're going to go. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to sing the last verse that leads into the chorus, okay?
Okay, and I'll join you on the chorus.
Good morning.
Okay, here it is. Well, they say the sky's the limit, and to me that's really true. But my friend, you have nothing. Just wait and get through, because I'm bad.
I'm bad.
You know it.
I'm bad.
You know it.
And the one
nice,
I
like that.
Have to answer right
like
now,
it.
Just to tell you once again, you know, what happened to you? Hey, look, if there was a recruiting hall of fame, what city would it be in?
A recruiting hall of fame?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Anybody else got an answer? Anybody on the line wants to offer an answer for that one?
It wouldn't be in your town.
In Charlotte.
Because.
<What? laughs> In Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. But I got to tell you, if they shut out the Recruiting Animal Show from the Recruiting Hall of Fame, I'd be pretty mad, okay? I might blow something up. Anyway, look, how would you handle this candidate? Before I even introduce you, give the full intro, I'm going to ask you a good question because people are getting mad already with all the singing and stuff. Okay, a recruiter I know published a job description in a LinkedIn group, and he got an email from a guy who wanted to talk about it. And the guy looked good. His LinkedIn profile looked good, but he didn't say where he's working right now. So when they got on the phone, hey, Kathy Manis, who are you talking to? Your husband? You're on the show, okay?
I've been muted this whole. I've been muted the whole time. I just unmuted, so it's not me.
It sounds like you.
It's not me.
It was Coronado.
It was not. I'm in Denver.
Saying, make me a sandwich.
No, he's in a meeting.
Okay.
So when they got on the phone, the first thing the recruiter asked this guy, where are you working? And the candidate says, I'd rather not reveal that information. So the recruiter, listen to what he said. He said, okay, well, find yourself another recruiter. And he hung up. And I asked him, I said, why didn't you give the guy a chance to get to know you better? Then he would have felt more comfortable telling you that information. He said, look. He said, I got a lot of experience in this business, and that was a clear indication to me that this guy was a problem candidate and he wasn't worth my time. What do you think about that, Bridget?
I think that that does display how serious he is in the job search, but it also could be that he wanted to be confidential and he's doing a confidential job search and he doesn't want to disclose his company because he fears that, you know, it may get back to the company.
Yeah, we understand. Well, how would you deal with somebody? How can you work with a candidate who won't tell you where he's working?
Well, you actually said what I would have done. I would have actually built a relationship with the candidate, and eventually, you know, after we built a relationship, they would have, you know, eventually told me where they work. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but you think, hold on. This guy says, yeah, he might have got that information, but the candidate's already telling him, I'm hard to deal with. You don't want to work with me.
Nah, I disagree. I'm gonna agree with your guest here.
Uh huh.
You wait a little bit.
Yeah.
You get to know the person a little bit. How about look at his resume? I mean, what?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a recruiter right off the bat says, hi, I'm the recruiter. Where do you work? And the guy says, I don't want to tell you yet. And the guy says, get lost.
That's
yeah,
right.
There's a big biller. Yeah, I'd like to read his training manual.
You know what Rebecca Sargent says? She says when the candidate or client is threatening to walk away if they don't get their way, let them do it. They're not going to point a gun to your head, okay? She didn't say it about this, but I think it applies here. I kind of like what that guy did. You know, I have my initial reaction's the same as yours. Let's be reasonable. The guy wants you to work with him, but won't give you the most basic information. Yeah, forget about him. You're out. He learned his lesson, okay? Now let me.
That recruiter blew
guest.
It, and I wholeheartedly disagree with that.
Okay.
Absolutely disagree with that.
I mean, you know, replied to the job post, that means they were at least interested.
Yeah, they're checking it out.
Yeah.
Maybe he's been at the same place for 15 years, and he's like, he doesn't know how all this goes. And I mean, geez, give the guy a shot. Do your job. Establish rapport.
How many recruiters won't give up the client name on the first call? Oh, I can't tell you that. What's the difference?
Maureen Sharib will. Go ahead.
Who's talking in the background there? Amy, who's that?
I'm by myself. It's not here.
Yeah, I know it's not there. Okay, anyway.
Is it Alan? Is Alan with us today?
No, it's a woman. It's a woman. It's a woman. That's why I thought it was Kathy. I falsely accused Kathy.
Sorry, Kathy.
Okay, so let's introduce the guest. What's your name? Give it again.
I'm Bridget Baggett.
You spell the last name, will you?
That's B-A-G-G-E-T-T.
Okay, and you spell Bridget a funny way as well, so you might as well spell that too.
That's B-R-I-B-G-E-T.
Okay.
Not really an odd way.
Your website? Your website is career-innovate.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, for 7 years, you were a resume writer, and you've recently become a recruiter. Am I right about that?
No, I've been a recruiter for – I was a resume writer before I became a recruiter. I've been a recruiter for about 7 years.
Oh, 7 years. Oh, before that, you were a resume writer. Okay. And you're going to take the HR certification on January 31st. Is that right?
That's correct.
Why? Why would you want to do that? You've already got an MBA in health informatics and business administration. So now you're getting this HR certification. Why? Do you think it's going to tell clients that you're more trustworthy and knowledgeable? Why are you doing that?
I'm doing it because I think that it's for myself, and I really do want to take it and test my knowledge and be able to
Did you learn anything while you were studying for the test?
Yes, I did. I did. You learn a lot of the labor relation laws, and those are constantly changing.
Hold on a second. Does a recruiter have to know that? Is that really worth the time put in for a recruiter?
Well, that's the thing. I do more than recruiting. I also do consulting as well, and I think that recruiting and consulting go hand-in-hand.
Okay, forget it. Okay, you're a skydiver, yes?
Yes, I am.
How many jumps?
Oh, not too many. Only about 11 so far.
All right.
Very cool.
And you like Zumba. Is that right?
Zumba. Yes, I do.
Zumba. Okay. And you play the piano and the guitar. Okay. And how many people did you recruit on Twitter last year?
Say about 10.
Are you kidding? Jerry, take over. I want to hear how you interviewer about this.
Okay,
ahead,
let's
Jerry.
Take that a step further. How many placements did you make from the people that you recruited on Twitter?
I think everyone that I placed, I either had a LinkedIn profile that I looked at, or I reached out to them some way, shape, or form using LinkedIn.
Okay, how about Twitter?
Twitter, no.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Jerry, was
back
I speaking
to you,
a
animal.
Foreign language? Was it my accent?
I haven't made any place, and I think Twitter is good. Put it like this. I have not implemented a recruiting strategy for Twitter yet. I do think you can find good people using Trender by
Facebook? What about Facebook? I just got to say again, shame on you with that phone, okay? What about Facebook?
Facebook...
Have you recruited anyone? Okay.
No.
Now you told me in your pre-show plan that you run a small referral-based firm. What's a referral-based firm? You don't go out looking for business. All your business comes by way of referral?
No, I do go out and look, but part of the process is actually getting referrals. When you look and you may not get the person that you actually found or headhunted, they will lead you to the person that may initially get the position. So it's a referral-based firm. Like I really don't post any job board ads or anything like that. It's usually by find a person that I may want to place. If they don't, you know, like you said, they may be happy with their position, they'll refer me to other places or other people that would fit the position.
Okay, so when I call people, they almost, you know, rarely want to give me a referral because they don't know me. So you're a generalist as well. You're not working the same territory all the time. Tell us, how do you get referrals? Since that's a major means of sourcing for you, tell us some examples of your recent searches where you've got referrals. How do you get them?
Well, I do incentives. It can be monetary, or I find out what the person likes and do kind of like an incentive type thing with that. We have like a pay-forward program. We also don't ask directly for referrals. You're more so already have in your mindset that they know someone that does the exact same thing that you're doing or that you're looking to do. And it's almost telling them, you know, asking them, who else do you know, but not directly asking who else would you know. It would be more
If you don't ask them, how do you get that information? If you don't ask for the referral, who do you know? How do you get the information? Tell me a story. Tell me a real story. Did you read the literature that I sent you before the show?
Yes. I want to tell you a story.
Tell me a story. Huh? Tell me a story. Because if you're doing this all the time, you should have lots of stories to tell us. Tell me a story about how you got a referral.
Okay. A referral would be a story would be, okay, you call someone, or they say, no, we're not
interested. You call someone. I called someone. I was looking for a VP operations in the printing industry. I found a guy on LinkedIn who I'd never spoken to before. I called him up. I said, hey, interested in this job? Well, I know Jerry doesn't want you to say that, but imagine you did. Hey, interested in this job? No, I'm happy where I am. Now, you want to get a referral. How'd you do that? You tell me a story, not my example, your own real-life example about how you got a referral. I mean, because that's the first thing you told me about yourself. I run a referral-based firm.
Okay, so then afterwards I'll follow up. I'll ask to send them information and ask them if we can follow up. I don't ask them for a referral on the first call. It's kind of like building a relationship. So the next time we do talk, I'll talk more so about the industry and what their company is doing, and then I'll ask about if they know any decision makers that I could talk to that pretty much does the same thing that they do.
Okay, now we're getting closer, even though I asked for a real example, and you were still talking hypothetical or in general terms. But so if the person has already told you, Bridget, I'm happy where I am, how do you happen to call them again during the same search? What's your excuse to give them a call?
It could be anything. A lot of times these are people that are trendsetters in the industry, and I do get a lot of people that help me out with blogs or articles of interest, or I'll shoot them an article of interest that's happening in their industry. You just build that relationship. So it's not always trying to call to get something that you want out the call. It can be just calling to give information or getting someone a resource.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, I've got to tell you, I've looked at your pictures. You're a pretty girl. Maybe that makes a difference. But people don't want to give that information to me, okay? Help me. There's a lot of people on the line. Am I asking her the right question? Is she evasive? Come on, Amy, do you know what I'm trying to get at here?
I do. I understand what you're getting at. And I think what happens is a lot of recruiters, and I'm like this too, we're really good at what we do, but it's a lot harder to explain it. You know, we just do it. We don't talk about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that means skip the question.
You can research the person. I actually researched the person that just recently got a promotion or just did something in their industry. And, I mean, they post this stuff online, and I can just reach out and congratulate them and say, hey, you know, kudos on whatever they may have done. I've done that before, and that opens the door to a whole different dialect.
I got to tell you something, everybody out there. If I call up a stranger and say, hey, congratulations, I figure they're thinking, who's this bozo? Why is he calling me? He doesn't care about me. He's never heard about me before, but now he saw me when he needs to use me, so he's pretending to be my pal. Don't you feel that way, that you're being insincere and they know it, or are they just flattered?
No, because
you know?
I still have people to this day that they said no to me, and we still send each other emails, and then, you know, they get my newsletter, they log on to some of my trainings I have.
Yeah,
so we
I don't want to
be
their
friend.
I'm not asking
Animal,
them to make
Animal,
friends.
There's another way to do it, and I did this. I pulled 9 people out of a competitor at once by doing this, I called a guy. He wasn't interested, and I said, well, do you mind if I call you like once a month and just, you know, catch up? Did it for 9 months and finally got the guy's trust and pulled 9 people out at once.
It's
you
a
know,
little late
referred.
For that search. That's a great – I'm not asking. But Stephen O'Donnell in Scotland has told me how to – exactly what I should say to Bridget. But first I want to make it clear. And I'll move on, everybody. Don't worry. I'm not going to stay in this rut forever. But
please.
I'm not trying to ask – I'm not trying to ask how to make friends. I'm trying to ask how can I get a referral? How can I get a referral in time to fill the search, not a year later, Kathy? Now, Stephen O'Donnell, our good friend in Scotland, he says, ask Bridget, the last time I'm going to try, ask Bridget how she found the candidate for her last placement, her very last placement. Now, I don't care if it was yesterday or 10 months ago. How did you find the candidate for that placement?
LinkedIn.
Pardon me, LinkedIn? Okay, there we go.
Dude, that's how everybody found their last placement, dude.
Yes.
Okay. Come on, man, get real.
Okay, now here's your ratio.
Nobody's actually recruiting anymore, dude. We're finding here's how recruiting is now. Search through LinkedIn, scroll down to the bottom, see the one that's kind of close. Send them a connection invitation with a little note. Hey, I'm working on something that you might be interested in. Call me if you are. And you hope like hell somebody calls you back. You do that all day long. And then a couple times a week, somebody says, yeah, that's me.
That's
Come on, man. Who are you kidding? Who are any of us kidding?
I didn't actually do that. I used to have a Premier account. LinkedIn, I actually got rid of it. But I usually, what I do, I call into the – I still pick up the phone told them I still go back to the basics. I actually call into the company and talk to them, and I also follow what organizations they are part of. Not only not LinkedIn organizations, but also organizations they are affiliated with outside of LinkedIn. So it's not just, like you said, looking, filtering, and doing a search on LinkedIn and just finding that person, because I don't send out invites or whatever emails, because they're like $10 a piece. So I just rather pick up the phone anyway. But that was the last majority of them. I just call into. I find out the top three competitors and call into the competitors, or find out the employees that are working for the competitors.
I want to thank Stephen O'Donnell. That's crowdsourcing interviews. It's just the modern age at work. Okay, now you say you've got a 1-to-3 placement ratio for every 3 resumes you send out, one candidate is hired. Usually it's the first resume or the second one sent on a specific search.
Yes.
That's pretty good, isn't it? For every 3 resumes, you make a placement. Anybody got a comment? There's tons of people on the line. I'm going to crowdsource.
That's better than me.
Does anybody want to say something about that?
Can I ask for some clarification?
Go ahead.
Talking about sending the resume, or are we talking send-outs here? Interviews.
We're talking about actual resumes. I usually send about 3-4 resumes per order, and I actually had one, I would say, not the last one, but the one before that one, that I sent one, the first one they loved, they wanted to hire, but it was just that human intuition that they wanted just to see more. I don't know if anyone ever had clients that the first one's perfect, but they just want to see more, thinking that they can top that.
Okay, so just to help me clarify, I'm in Indiana, so sometimes it takes me a second to catch up. When you send a resume, does that customer say, please have this person come to interview over here? That's what we call send-outs. Not send a resume out. I'm talking them interviewing your candidate.
Yeah,
do they interview everybody, or do they interview none? They just hire from the resume?
No, they interview. All the ones they interview, I would say within the first one to three interviews, they interview. And usually only takes those. I don't send a bulk of resumes. Throughout the 3 or 4 resumes I send, they set up an interview with the top 2 or 3, and they hire from that.
It's 3 send-outs to a placement, not 3 resumes to a placement, and there's a huge difference.
No, I think you misunderstood, Jerry. She
no, I don't misunderstand
resumes.
Anything, dude. Dare I say I'm
here,
brilliant.
Listen to this. She's got 100. She's got 100% placement rate. For every order she takes, she always fills it. And she said the rule is we only take orders we can place. Is that true, Bridget? You place people in every order.
Yeah. And the thing is, we're small. We're not a high-volume recruiting firm or recruiting agency, so I'm very choosy about what orders I take. And everyone I take, I place, and we have a 90-day guarantee, and our guarantee's never been enforced.
What kind of people? Just any, like, what's your typical salary?
Typical salary can range about $60,000, $65,000 and higher.
So what kind of people might these be? Accountants, electricians? I mean, what kind of recruiting?
Last one was an architectural sales engineer. They needed someone that had a mechanical engineer degree, so not only had the techie part, but also had the sales part, which is kind of a hybrid. Usually you see one or the other, or the person that knows the engineering or the person that knows the sales. So they needed this hybrid person, and we actually filled 3 positions for them, and they are, to this day, they're all still there.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question that Animal will love to hear the answer. Okay, as a generalist, non-niche-oriented recruiter, you're doing a variety of things. You also, On the track record, you have every resume that you send to your customer, you fully expect they're going to interview and hire that person. How can that be if you're moving from one career field to the next if you don't know anything about that field?
I mean, I don't think you have to be an engineer to spot one. I think that once you get down exactly what they want, and again, it's also building that relationship not just only with HR but also with the hiring manager. And I don't think that you need the entire background of that role or that field to be able to find the people that they're looking for.
Bridget, hold on a sec. I'm a generalist. I've told this story before. Went out, had a great meeting, VP of sales of a big retail operation, and finally the guy says to us, "You know what? How many placements did you make in retail last year?" We said 3. He said, "This company I'm using now made 50. Why should I use you?" He said, "They know everybody. You guys are going to have to start from scratch." I was, just laid low. And the same thing happened when I went out to, my friend and I used to go to visit the potential clients. We went to a legal firm. Guy said, "Okay, how many lawyers did you place last year?" "I think we had 1 or 2 placements." "Well, you know, you're not experts. Why should I hire you?" "I'm not going to hire you." That's what he told us. I didn't have a good comeback. I could say, "Look, we're good at finding people." But these guys say a generalist has to start from scratch, whereas other people know where the bodies are already. Do you ever have to handle that objection?
Yes, I do. And what I do, the first one, that most of the time the employer sometimes has given me an example of like their superstar employee, either through a LinkedIn profile or just giving me an example of what they want, and you can mirror that. That also has helped with the finding what you're looking for. Before to talk about that objection, if someone says that, what I usually do is I say, "Let me prove it," you know, and I've actually pulled candidates that, you know, I don't reach out to them yet because I think reaching out to candidates that you're not going to place can tarnish your brand. So I'll just pull them an example of, a person that they're looking to hire, and, you know, that can sell, that sometimes can close the deal. Not all the time, but it has closed the deal in the past.
Okay, Chris Fleek, I guess I'm going to miss him. A minute ago, he left a message. He said, "As quickly as I join the show, I'm out. Have a great rest of the day." Why don't you tell us what's wrong? I mean, give me some feedback. Help me. I mean, call
me. Wow, that
was
not helpful at all, Fleek.
No, that's not nice.
That's just a drive-by slam right there.
Tell me what it is.
Gosh.
Okay, you know, Amy Al is on the line, and she says, she doesn't say she doesn't believe you about the 100% placement rate, but she said she's never heard of it before, okay?
I'm not saying I don't believe you, but I'm a corporate recruiter, and I don't even have 100% placement rate. Things happen. Roles get canceled. People get transferred internally. Unless you're placing, you know, one person a year and you're nailing it, I don't know how you get 100%. What's your volume?
And added, that's very high for a generalist.
I'm not a high volume agency, so you're right that 100%, you know, compared to other people may not be impressive because I don't have a high volume of working on 20 or 30 orders at one time. So to answer your question, it's impressive because I may only get 2 or 3 positions a month, and that's all that I can handle, or if I can't help get, you know, contract someone to help me, you know, that's what I can handle. I'm not a volume agency.
So you've never in 7 years, or when did this 100% start? I'm just trying to get my head around.
She's been theoretical. Let's go 95%. Okay.
Let me come in and defend the candidate. I got to tell you, I did a lot of work on retained searches with you know, subcontracting with big recruiting firms. We filled every search. They paid us up front. We would never walk away from a search. Okay.
So you're a
retained. We're not a contingency firm. That's correct.
She's a retained firm.
Well, that's different.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So
you're a retained firm then, Bridget?
Engaged and retained. So any work that we do, the fees up front. That's correct.
Okay. All right. That changes everything.
Okay. You know,
she really does.
She actually
said.
Take
that, Amy.
She said.
Hey, yo.
I'm taking it. That does change everything. But, yeah, I mean, as a contingent recruiter and as a corporate recruiter, I've never hit 100%.
Diamond Dave liked that clarification. Mitch Sullivan is listening right now too. I'm just trying to keep everybody up to date. Hey Mitch. Hey Dave. Hey Kelly. Hey Amy. Hey Chad. Chad thinks
okay,
this is kind of fluff.
Well, he's got some good questions.
I think it's great. I mean, she's got 100%. That's awesome. She's one, the only recruiter I know that is.
Okay, we're
going to
move on. We're going to move on. And tell Chad Balbi, if someone thinks the show is lousy right now, call in and help me, okay?
No, it's much easier to just snipe at you.
Yeah.
Much easier.
Okay. Right. Okay. Bridget says that contingency recruiting without an exclusive contract is a waste of time. Okay? That's what she believes. Why is that, Bridget?
Because there's no skin in the game. If I want to use my resources and dedicate my time, what's in it for me? You know, so I think that if you're not getting skin in the game from your clients, it's a waste of time.
Uh-huh. So if somebody says to you, because you really didn't tell me how you counter the objection about not being a specialist. But what if they say, look, Bridget, I can give this search out to a contingency firm. I don't have to pay anything unless they actually produce somebody. What's your counterattack? How do you handle that objection?
I ask them, when would it be a great time for me to follow up after their initial search?
Oh, very good. Okay, so you're willing to walk away. That's the way you handle it, right?
I'd rather work with someone that has exhausted all possibilities before I sit here and have to compete with contingency firms.
Really?
What happens is they get five. It's not like they're using one firm. They get three or four or sometimes five firms, and you're all scrambling for the same people.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. But
I'm with you. I'm about sick of this contingency world, I tell you. I'm sick of it.
Okay, but she's saying,
you
know what,
I can't hear what she's
Bridget,
saying.
You seem like a nice girl, but you are driving me crazy with that phone.
Yeah,
it's
that phone's
so
bad.
Sloshy. You know what, it's exhausting for me to talk to someone who's not on a clear phone. I've had to do it so many times. I just don't get
painful.
It, okay?
It's painful.
It really is. It really, thank God you don't use it on your regular business. Okay, the thing
hey,
is.
Hey, Mitch Sullivan.
Yeah. There's a sniper.
There's
a sniper. I know if we had a war, I know where I'd put him. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A
couple hundred yards back. I have a question,
Animal.
Yeah, go ahead.
So,
who is it?
It's Amy. Bridget, you're placing candidates around the 60,000 to 70,000 a year range, right? How do you sell a retained search at that level? That's kind of middle of the road, you know, not to minimize that kind of candidate or that kind of search, but how do you sell a retained search at that level?
Well, that's when we get into our Helping Hands program, and that's really a flat-based fee that they'll pay. Either they'll pay it for a one-time fee, or we can set it up they can pay a lower fee on a reoccurring basis if they have several positions. So we sell it off of being economically efficient for their business. So instead of them paying 30% or 25%, whatever the going rate is, we'll do it on a Helping Hands program where we'll do a flat fee for them.
Like a real super low, like $500 or something? And I mean, I can see 100% success if your customers aren't actually paying you anything. So I'm just trying to find the balance. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck.
No, range anywhere from $8,000
to $10,000. Okay. That's like the guest last week. I mean, cut your fees in half and companies will pay you up front.
Which
is cool. People are doing it and I'm into it.
Okay, but it sounds she has this Helping Hands program. It sounds kind of like his system. He makes you pay $5,000 up front to use them, and then he charges you a flat fee. Is that what you're saying as well? You charge them a fee just to become your client, and then you charge them a flat fee for the placement. Is that what we're hearing, Bridget?
No, there's no fee to become my client. The fee is the placement.
Okay. What's the Helping Hands program?
Whose hands are helping who, and who's paying for it?
The The Helping Hands program is pretty much, like I said, a flat fee for it. And the fee really is determined by the requirements for the position. They can pay for one placement or one particular position if that's all they need, and that fee tends to be a little bit higher. But say if they need us on a reoccurring basis, say they have this engineer position for three different branches in their company, we would do like a reoccurring fee, like that they could pay a monthly fee for, a set amount of months that we'll put in a contract.
Okay, so you'll
get all three of those filled.
So you'll fill any number of positions for a flat monthly fee. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay, so, so they can pay a flat monthly fee, and you might fill one position that month or five, but the fee doesn't change. Am I right, or is it fluctuating?
It fluctuates. It's I guess it would be I want to say unlimited because people could take that word and run with it, but it would be a set amount that you would get per month per se. So if you ask for two positions to be filled in a month, you'll get two positions to be filled in that month. We're not going to go out and recruit 10 positions.
Okay. So Amy Alla, I saw she posted a question on Facebook this week. That's Amy who's been talking. Kathy Manis hasn't had much to say, and there's lots of other people on the line who don't want to help with the show. That's okay. They're just listening. But
like
Amy
Mitch
said,
Sullivan.
Amy, no, he's just listening online. There's lots of people called in, Chair. So
Diamond Dave. Who is Diamond Dave?
Yes.
Do you know this guy?
Yeah, I do. But Amy Alla says she had to cut loose a candidate after a phone interview. He's qualified, but he had a negative perspective on some aspects of the job. He was concerned about being a company shill. Those are his own words. He said, I don't want to be a company shill, or I'm not comfortable being a company shill. That wasn't in the job description, okay? So she says, we had other candidates who were excited and positive about the job, so it made sense not to move forward with this guy, to move forward with the other people. She wasn't sure. He wants feedback. She wasn't sure what to say. What would you say to a guy like that? You're a negative son of a bitch, and we don't want you working
with
us.
Oh.
I'm taking notes.
What would you say, Bridget?
What would I say if what, the candidate was negative?
What
feedback
said,
would you give the candidate? I told him he was not moving forward. I thanked him for his time. We were very fortunate to have a lot of great candidates. It was a tough decision, but for this particular role, we're not moving forward. Feel free to keep in touch. And he writes back, understand, thanks for letting me know, would love, some further feedback. So that's where we're at. Now I'm trying to figure out, what to say. I want to be transparent. I want to give the guy a chance to do it better next time or at a different company. But at the same time, that's a very...
There's ways to give that feedback without coming off negative. Like you said, if one of their downplays were like, I don't know if that was one of them, they didn't have a degree. You can suggest.
No. Bridget, what I need from you is a specific script on what I say to this guy. That's the question. He's saying, can you give me more feedback why I wasn't picked? The reason he wasn't picked is because of a negative perspective he left the hiring manager with.
Oh, okay.
By saying the corporate shill or the company shill comment.
You know what a shill is? Somebody who pretends to be enthusiastic about something.
Yeah, like a stooge or something. Yeah.
Gets paid to be, right?
Yeah,
so,
thanks. Yeah. Thanks, animal.
Not everybody knows. Okay, so maybe Bridget doesn't want to
I didn't know.
Bridget,
that's why I said thanks.
Okay.
I would say
maybe that's not your favorite question. I'm ready to move on. Because
I wouldn't. Yeah, okay.
There's a guy on
Twitter. I mean, it's
Twitter.
A real-world scenario, and I've been recruiting for 15 years, and I still don't have an answer, so I'd love to hear from someone who does.
I got to tell you, Amy, I think that's a real easy one. It's not like this guy's got a drip personality. The hiring manager said, we can't stand this guy. It's kind of like that, but it's so specific. Listen, you didn't sound enthusiastic about the position. You actually referred to it as, being a shill. We didn't see it that way, and we thought you might not be comfortable if you think you're, being insincere. That's how it came across. That's what happened. The guy might say, I didn't mean it
that
way. So, too bad. That's what you said. That's what everybody understands shill to mean. And if he can't take that, just hang up on them like that other recruiter did. Find yourself another recruiter, okay? Now, let me get this guy, Cop Hunter. Who's Cop Hunter? Is that the guy in Israel, right? Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Let me just see. Okay,
yeah,
is he on the line? Todd,
yes,
you're
I
on
am.
The line? So go ahead,
yeah.
Ask a question.
I was just curious. You know, like how many jobs she's working on right now.
Yeah, because you went to her site and she's not got anything posted there. Do you post the jobs on your site, Bridget?
Sometimes I post them. Sometimes I don't. Right now, I'm not working on anything.
Okay, now Jerry doesn't believe in posting. Jerry doesn't believe. You shouldn't have said that, Bridget. You should have lied.
Hold on a second, man. Don't start disparaging my name.
No, but Jerry,
I don't happen to post.
Jerry says don't post
all that
your
I
job.
Know about every single job that I'm working on. I like to talk to people about their interest and the process and the whole thing, thereby uncovering all their objections as you go, instead of just dumping it all right on their computer screen and having them say, nah, that's not right for me, move on, click.
He's got a point.
That's why I said sometimes I post them, sometimes I don't. Because not too many people are going to stumble across my site and apply to that position.
Right.
Okay,
you know,
so, but you're not working on anything right now?
What?
I'm sorry.
Don't press that pain button, Todd. I got some other questions for you.
She offered it up. She said,
yeah, I know. She shouldn't have said that. She should not have said that. Okay, you go ahead. I asked for questions. You help me. Go ahead. Interview.
No, that's what I was asking. Is she working on anything right now?
Richard, talk to this guy. He's a smart guy.
I'm working with some NPCs, but I'm not working on anything for a direct client right now, no.
Okay.
Okay. Now, let me ask you something, Cop Hunter, okay? That's so hard to say.
Yes, ditch that, man. Change it.
And you don't have why don't you have your name up there? Your name's Todd, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you put your name? What's your last name? Do you want to tell us? You don't have to. Todd Porter. Yeah, I know you told. Why don't you put that there? You got your weird.
I never use Twitter, and
when I set it up,
that's what I set it up with.
Okay, Cop. We know that you're working in Israel, and Cop means head, right? But the Cop, I've never seen it spelled that way. That's headhunter in Yiddish, I guess. Okay, it took me a few minutes. If it took me a while, trust me, it's going to take other people even longer. Okay. Bridget, Rebecca Sargent posted something. I don't think she's on the line. She said that, you know, she supports certain charities, but she doesn't post it on her website. These are the charities I support. But, in fact, somehow through her donations, somebody saw that she supports the same charity as him and got in touch with her and became a client. And that made her wonder, should I be posting my charities on my website so that people can, you know, who support the same things as me, you know, are going to come to me because they feel an affinity to me? That's a tough question because then you're using your charity to make money. But all the corporations do it. They all say, we're a good citizen, and they have to prove it. They have to say, look, I'm supporting this community effort. What do you think, Bridget?
I'm with you. I think that actually not only gives your charity exposure, but it also, you know, positions you to show that you're charitable. So I don't see a problem with showing, you know, who you're affiliated with, and you know, it's different from posting what you donated or your donations, but showing that you support a particular organization or a foundation, I see nothing. I see this on big company sites all the time, the foundations and corporations that they support.
This reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where Costanza was telling everybody that as his gift to them, he had made a donation to a particular charity in their name. It was the whole show. It was fantastic. Anybody recall that one, or is it just me?
I don't remember. Daryl Disco, he said he's going
out.
He's got to be a company shill at 1 o'clock. He's making a presentation to a candidate he's going to shill for his client. Okay. So, Bridget, let me do a couple of ads. Recruiters.com. Now, our good friend Chris Russell has created a directory online for recruiters. It's called Recruiters. I don't know if I would have named it that, but it's there, Recruiters. It's not that hard to remember. I'm registered. Jerry, are you registered?
No, and with a name like that, I'm sorry. I don't take my profession lightly. Chris, you know that Animal and I have, in the past, been concerned with some of your names that you picked. Call us first next time. Recruiters,
I'm on there.
This
I'm
isn't
on
a
there.
Game.
I suggest other people put themselves there, too, as well.
No.
Last week when we were speaking to Dave Fikak, who should still change his last name, we told him about TempWorks.com. That's the company of our good friend, Greg Dragarian. If you want to set yourself up as a contract placement person, placing people on contract, they'll give you the money and give you the software to run your company for a price. But that's TempWorks.com. Good guy. And I don't know if there's anybody else that I should mention. I've Online Job Tour. OnlineJobTour.com. They will set up for a substantial fee, I'm going to say. They're proud of the work they do. If you're a hospital or some big organization in a little town that no one wants to move to, they're going to make a website for you that makes it look great, that tells you everything, the candidate, everything you want to know. I'm impressed. He's got lots of samples over at OnlineJobTour.com. Okay, that's enough ads for now. I can't think of anybody else.
Oh, yeah, that was plenty.
Does anybody want to say something? There's a lot of people here. Todd.
I'm just looking for a little clarification. I don't understand the helping hands thing.
It sounds like it's a
community. What?
They get a bargain price if they commit to a monthly fee. Okay? Let's not dwell on that.
Just one. Okay. All right, man. Back to you, Animal.
Okay. Now, Rebecca Sargent, I'm asking for people to help. Rebecca Sargent says, don't get emotionally attached to your clients and candidates. Your clients are not your friends, and your candidates are not your fans. They're your product. I know a lot of people would say the opposite. What do you think about that, Bridget?
I think that it's the opposite. I think that your clients, they may not be your friends, but they're definitely someone that's keeping your lights on, so there's some level of respect that has to go with that. And your candidates are the ones that's keeping you in business as well. So I think it works hand in hand. And I don't look at candidates as a product, because we all at some time have been a candidate. So I definitely don't agree with that statement.
Okay, she also says, don't tell them what they want to hear. Tell them what they need to hear. Do you hear that, Amy? You don't make money on unfillable orders, and you don't make money fighting off candidates who should have been disqualified 2 weeks ago. So just give it to them both barrels.
Gotcha.
I think
rip
you
the
would
Band-Aid
agree with
off.
You would agree with that too, wouldn't you, Bridget?
Definitely.
Okay.
And that brings it to the point of taking positions you can't feel.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I don't understand. When you say, I won't take a position I can't fill, but you're also saying, I'll take positions that other people can't fill. And so I figured if you go to somebody and say, okay, give it to the contingency guys, and when they're finished with you, then come to me. That would tell me that maybe this is an unfillable position. Don't you think so?
No, I think that the position is unrealistic. So a lot of the recruiters that take it on take it for face value. And when I take positions that can't be filled, there's a reason why they can't be filled. Usually the expectations or the requirements are unrealistic. And once we tailor that, we're able to find someone and place in that position. So I think that, like I said, I let the contingency recruiters have a shot at it first. And then, when I get a hold of them a month or two down the line, we'll sit down, and that's when my consulting hat comes on, and you tweak some things, and you make it a placeable position.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you're a generalist recruiter and you don't have tons of experience in this field, let's say architecture, how do you really know what's a feasible search and what isn't? I mean, I've gone into situations, and I take a look at the search, and I say, well, okay, but after I've made 10 calls, I start wondering. I say, this doesn't seem to be the good salary, or there's certain things that seem wrong here. The thing is, and I'll go back to the client, but at the same time, I don't feel really confident because I've never worked on this before. I've got limited experience. Where do you get the ability, and just tell me, I don't, can't answer this because I don't want to dwell on it if you don't know, but where do you get the ability to look at the job order and say, look, this isn't going to work, you know, it doesn't fit the marketplace?
And you do your research. You know, I use PayScale. I collaborate with compensation analysts. I look at the market of the demographic. I make sure the salary is competitive, that if that's an issue. I also look at people that are doing the exact same position and look at the requirements and expertise they have to do the job. So if they're asking for something that's way over the top and I'm looking at someone that's in their competitor that's doing the exact same thing and they don't have all these bells and whistles, why can't you settle for someone that has this same background?
Uh-huh.
So you just do your research. And, of course, it's nothing that you do overnight. It takes time, but, you know, it can be done.
Okay. I think here's one, probably the last question now. I think this is from Mitch Sullivan. I might be wrong, Mitch, if I'm sorry, but he says if you see it on a LinkedIn page, oh, no, maybe that. What I remember Mitch saying is that if someone's making a lot of cold calls, that's a sign they're not a good recruiter. What do you think?
I don't think it's a sign that they're not a good recruiter. I think that cold calls are essential because how many people heard of Career Innovations before I got on your show? So I think that you know, unless you have millions of marketing dollars behind you to post these ads and get yourself out there, you're going to have to pick up the phone. And I think it has nothing to do with your competency.
Okay. Okay. Anybody
he probably said that with his pinky out while he was sipping some proper English tea.
You know what I mean?
Nice little sip there.
I didn't have the quote there, so I shouldn't have said that. And I don't know exactly what that could mean because I guess if you're a specialist in a niche field, you know all the people already. You don't have to start cold calling people. I guess that's what that means. I'm not sure. Bridget, anything else you'd like to tell us before I let you go?
Yeah, I would say one thing I wanted to say about people that if you do cold call, you have people that don't use recruiters. I've actually turned those into recruiting partners. I have a couple companies that don't use recruiters but send me awesome NPCs, candidates that they can't use or don't have a place for, don't have a home for, and they get their permission first. And I've made placements from resumes that other companies have told me, no, we don't use recruiters, but have partnered up with me and sent me some awesome candidates.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And that's another way to build your brand. And guess what? When that company says no, they're referring you to another company that says yes. And that's another way I get referrals as well.
Okay. And let's do your company again. Your name is Bridget.
Bridget Baggett.
Yep.
At Career Innovations, that's www.career-innovate.com.
Okay, and what city are you in?
We reside in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And do you only work in Charlotte, or do you work all over the place?
Work all over the place. I actually made some placements up in Toronto, so I work nationwide, including Canada.
What do you know? Okay.
Yeah, they're asleep at the wheel up there, aren't they?
Oh, wrong music. Wrong music.
Oh,
well, what a show. Is it? Am I by myself? Animal, I've lost my audience, dude, because of you.
I'm only here for like a minute. Yeah, I'm only here for a minute.
I don't always have a whole bunch of time after the Animal Show. Maybe I need to sublet this space. I'm wrapping up getting everybody's W-2s and 1099s out. Maryland wants to see something about some kind of unemployment insurance quarterly contribution report. That one of my customers needs to see my Ohio Bureau of Workers' Comp premium policy that extends it through August 15th, 2014. I'm just ranting now, aren't I? I'm just too busy for this.
Well, tell you what, if you don't have time, why don't you let Bridget do it? She's not working on any searches or anything.
Oh! Last
I'm
week,
glad I was looking for candidates during that period, or it would have been a waste of hour.
Last week, we had a cut-fee engaged guy. Is that where everything is going? Should I cut my 25% fee down to $10,000 and ask for half up front and perhaps make twice as many placements?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't know where to go now. What do you think? I mean, is that what's happening, people? Is that what's going on?
I'm befuddled. It's like that, you know, the prepaid legal. I feel like that's what it's turning into. You know?
Prepaid legal
needs. Instead of hiring... Well, right, instead of, like, actually going and hiring a great lawyer when you need it, let me just pay $10 a month and have, you know, some poor intern fix my will when I need it. I don't know. It just...
Hey, I've been signed
know.
Up for prepaid for 30 years. I don't
yeah.
know.
Maybe it's a great solution. I don't know. It's just, yes, you kind of lost me with the 100% fill rate and the... oh, gosh, you know, she only takes searches she can fill, but there are searches nobody else can fill. And I don't know. She's apparently got some magic juice that she's not sharing because I'm not that good.
See, I think the helping hands thing, if that's advertised and stuff, that almost sounds like a community, like a social services thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Like, that's why I was just looking for some clarification. You know what I mean? I don't know if this – I don't know what's going on. But I thought she was very nice. Terrible
yeah.
phone. Didn't like the phone line at all.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
Struggle.
Okay, well, I have to call a realtor at the Hatteras Realty Company. We're going to go to the Outer Banks this summer. And we finally found a home that the 18 members of our family – that's mom, dad, kids, grandkids – we can all fit into. We've all agreed this looks nice. This might be our last time that we ever all get together for a vacation, but it's been a hassle.
You got a dozen people on the line, and you're
no, I don't.
I'm
here, but I never matter.
See, yes, you do. What did you think about the show?
I really was bored. I was looking at potato gratin recipes for tonight. And I was shopping at Macy's and just doing everything else I could do for that hour. You know, I've got this much I'll say. I think she's extremely intelligent, you know, obviously with the MBA and the degrees and wanting her HR degree. And I believe her. She probably only takes a couple of jobs a month that she knows she can fill.
And what's wrong with that?
Huh?
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. That's what I'm saying. There was nothing wrong with it. I wish there was more stories. I mean, there wasn't any specifics, but, you know, Animal tried to get it out of her, and he couldn't. But, you know, it wasn't anything that excited me. I mean, I didn't learn anything new.
Yeah. I'm flat on it. Nice lady. Probably make some placements. I don't sense that we're in the same industry. Who else? I need to hear from a new caller that's never spoken up on the Animal Show or the much more popular After Show, which is what we're on now. Anybody? Somebody?
Hey, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. My name is Michael Cox. I'm a recruiter down here in San Antonio.
Michael Cox.
Yes, sir.
How's it going?
Going well. How you doing?
Living the dream.
All right.
Yeah, recruiting in my PJs, you know what I mean? Shh, don't tell anybody that. That's confidential.
So anyhow, you know, one comment I do have in regards to, you know, the person that spoke just before said that there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking all the business that you are guaranteed to get. Is how much more do you think you could? I mean, if you're not getting no enough, I think you're missing out on a lot of opportunities.
Well, that's what I was asking the guest last week. I don't know if you listened to that show. But
I listened to parts of it.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, if
raise your rate until companies say, sorry.
Yeah.
Nope, that's a little too much. Otherwise, you're doing yourself and your family and your kids' college fund a disservice.
Absolutely.
And college
yeah.
is expensive.
No, I did hear that. It sounded, you know, last week and listening to him, and I've heard other people talk about some really low rates, certainly discourages me from going back to third-party recruitment. But then I hear somebody talking about how she doesn't, she feels 100% of her gigs. I'm thinking, well, there you go. That's one way to do it. But then I started hearing about the fact that she doesn't take very many, and she's not working on any right now. So I'm thinking, well, if I was third party again, and you know, I got a wife and family to keep under a roof and fed, you know, this month isn't going to look too good.
Right. Yeah.
Or next month if I've got nothing that I'm working on right now.
There you go. Take one that you might not fill, but at least work on something.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, yep. if you're only working on things that you're absolutely certain you're going to fill, that's great if you got 15 or 20 that you're filling this month.
Yep.
But if you're working on nothing and being highly selective, it doesn't sound like a good combination.
How can we connect with you on social stuff, Michael?
I'm on
Twitter?
LinkedIn. I try using Twitter, but it's a waste of time.
What's your last name, Mike?
Cox, C-O-X.
How did you find out about the animal show?
I listen to a lot of podcasts. I drive a lot, and so I just looked up Recruiter on podcasts, and
who do you
this
work
happened
for?
To be the one. I work for a Xerox, a wholly owned subsidiary of Xerox called Dayhill.
Mm-hmm.
So,
my favorite cigar used to be the Dunhill.
Oh, yeah. I'm digging
I don't
that.
See them around as much anymore.
No, I like the, there were these, I don't know, cigar talk, whatever. There was a bunch of others that I liked.
Hey, who can take over for the animal show? Because I got to go. I've got my accountant is on the other line, and I'm sure that I'm paying for every second she has to sit on hold. Anybody?
I can't. I'm sorry.
You can, Kathy?
I can't. I have to leave.
Animal, we need you. Help.
Okay,
oh,
Chair.
Man. He's probably opening a can of tuna. Oh, you're back?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, man, can
Just
you get some scores
it.
For me? I got to roll, man. I got something happening.
Say goodbye to everybody.
Real life is taking over. Bye, everybody.